keep it alive through these lines I write. I keep it live cause I thrive. I might just blow your mind tonight. I'm so hyped, but it's no hype. From this height, it's direct hits on sight. I'm your type, lend me your ears to show you that there's something in me. I'm not giving up, I'm standing right here holding these days hostage, and I'll make this my year. We turning fear into love, and the love's in the air. I love doing this cause nothing compares, nothing can share that same type of feeling when you feeling them flares. They can't catch it, it's havoc. I rip to a tear, switch a scenario. My stereos, I leave them impaired. Variables start to change, and they're all in my range. I just gotta grab it, it's all mathematics. Every step is drastic, I make it fantastic. I'm trying to take your breath away, asthmatic.
This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo. This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo.
Yeah, just nod your head with it. So explicit and vivid. Every image is intricate, intimate. I put my all into it. No scrimmage and no rules. I'm a pro tool. Hear my heartbeat beating to the vocals. I'm so loco, lost my mind, oh no. It's ponderoso, dope, so no overdose, cause it's dope, yo. Man, this is house grown, mixed with some milestones. So I let the style flow down like the Dow Jones. Bringing it with some foul tones, letting the crowd know we getting loud, so it's eardrum rudiments. Yeah, we bring it rude again. Move, little hooligan. Music for tuning in, full time to the 10. I'm on my clock, like I told you. I'm doing this for dreams we pursuing.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the Anti-Media Radio Show. Once again with your host, Nick Burtaby, here on UCY.tv and theantimedia.com. Normally it's theantimedia.org, we've switched it. Just part of our ongoing maneuvering with dealing with this Facebook algorithm, trying to fight our way through it. We did some research and found out that our domain name was being pushed down in the newsfeed compared to other websites, basically. You know, we posted an article on the antimedia.org, put it on Facebook, see how it does, see how it reaches. We have the duplicate article from Steemit posted on Facebook, and it was getting more reach. So we, after doing some research, we found out our domain name was being flagged. I mean, this is just a constant battle of censorship against these corporate giants, and they're just getting worse. I mean, the most recent one we're going to be talking about, we have an article coming out tomorrow. Microsoft is banning offensive language throughout all of their products. So, I mean, I don't know how far they're going to go to enforce this, and or, you know, what exactly they're going to do. But just imagine you're like typing up a Word document, and, you know, sometimes I write articles that have the F word in them and say some things like calling Mike Pence an asshole or whatever. And I don't know, is Microsoft going to say, while I'm typing it, is Microsoft going to say, hey, bro, you got to change your language, or we're going to boot you off our Microsoft Word? It's getting ridiculous, ridiculous. I mean, this censorship, it's horrible and it's brilliant. You know, this is just one of these things where you got to give these guys credit. They figured out a loophole. It's like, okay, well, if the government's restrained from censoring people because we have the First Amendment and free speech, well, then let's just get them all dependent on these huge corporations, Microsoft, Google, Facebook, Twitter, Reddit, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and get them to, you know, get them hooked on that, and then we can censor it through that, you know, censor it that way. And that's exactly what's going on. Anybody that opposes the U.S. establishment is branded a Russian troll or Russian sympathizer and is being basically screwed over by all of these companies. Very troubling stuff. Very troubling stuff. And you know what? I don't know whether these guys are taking their marching orders from the government. I don't know if Google, you know, I know Google and some of these companies like Microsoft as well have very close relationships with the government, and they work together on many things. I don't know if they're taking their order, marching orders from the government, or if these guys are just taking it upon themselves to preemptively say, oh, we're just going to do this on our own. Maybe they're doing it to prevent regulation, although Mark Zuckerberg is basically saying, yeah, we should be regulated. So a bunch of stuff going on that front. But anyway, thanks for tuning in. I'm really happy to be back and doing well on this Wednesday, March 28, 2018, almost to April already. Gosh, a lot of stuff, a lot of news to go over because there was a mystery trip by Kim Jong-un. And he went and he took like his bulletproof train and he went to go meet up with President of China. It's his first official visit. In fact, it's the first time he's left the country since 2011. Imagine that. Imagine like being a president of the country and you're so isolated by the international community that you can't even leave. You can't even go to other countries and meet other people because you're afraid that you may get assassinated or there's sanctions, you can't travel. So this was an interesting timing for sure because, look, there's a lot of stuff going on between the U.S. and China right now. There's the trade talks, the trade war, supposedly that may happen. We don't know what's going to go down with that. It could be Trump just doing his art of the deal stuff where he goes like super hard at the beginning and then backs off. We don't know for sure. So there's that. The U.S. recently sailed a warship within 12 miles of a island that China claims as its own. The other thing is that Trump and Kim Jong-un are supposed to meet to talk about denuclearization for North Korea and hopefully maybe, you know, the U.S. backing off, reducing sanctions. Kim Jong-un, when he was in China, he said, we are open to denuclearizing. So we'll see how that goes down. Look, we've been warning about the increasing tensions with North Korea for a while now. Ever since Trump came into office, they've been increasing. So, you know, hopefully we're able to defuse this situation because if not, it's just going to be another major disaster, foreign policy disaster, not unlike we've seen recently with Iraq, Afghanistan, Yemen, Syria, and, you know, who knows how long of a prolonged war it would end up being. You know, the U.S. always says, oh, we're just going to go do one quick surgical strike, and then Operation Mission Creep happens, and then you got this prolonged war with really no goal or no end in sight, and it with North Korea, it would probably turn into a proxy war between the U.S. and China. Not good. No matter which way you look at it. So hopefully this will kind of decrease the tensions. I don't know. It's hard to say. But we're going to be paying close attention to that on the anti-media as we keep going covering this foreign policy stuff because it's just every day there's more and more foreign policy things going on. On that note, we've got more news about John Bolton. This guy is just the biggest nightmare. I mean, he is just ridiculous. There isn't a war that this guy has never, you know, there isn't a war that he's opposed. He supports every single war. He wants to overthrow Iran. He made the case for striking North Korea. He wanted to overthrow the Syrian government. Of course, he supported the thing in Ukraine. Basically, every chance to support a war, this guy supports it. And sure enough, he never actually done military service himself because he's a fucking chicken hawk and he's afraid to die himself, but he has no problem sending a bunch of other people off to die or, you know, condemning other foreign nationals to death. Guy's a total coward. Bolton, anybody that was still on like, well, maybe Trump's just playing 4D chess and he's actually going to still be, you know, a non-interventionist on foreign policy. I'm sorry, but that's not the case. Bolton, if you had any doubts left, Bolton being in there is just the biggest foreign policy nightmare that, like, I could think of. Like, really bad. And he wants to pull out of the Iran deal, which Trump has been saying he's going to do. They're saying they're going to pull out even if Iran isn't found to be violating the deal. That's not good news because then, you know, let's say that this thing with North Korea is diffused and North Korea is like, all right, we're going to get rid of our nuclear program. The U.S. is like, all right, we're going to drop sanctions. one of my journalist friends, JP Sotil, was saying today that maybe even part of the deal would be removing U.S. troops from the Korean Peninsula. I don't know. But if that happens, these guys want to start some shit with Iran. That's very obvious. Trump has been talking about that from day one during his campaign. Bolton is like the single biggest let's bomb Iran guy out there. Any opposition that Trump has in Congress from like these moderate, you know, quote unquote moderate neocon people like, you know, John McCain and Marco Rubio and these kind of guys, that opposition goes away when it comes to Iran. Those guys want to bomb the shit out of Iran just as bad as John Bolton does. And in fact, I think they're all kind of tied in with this project for a new American century. It seems like they're all kind of part of that group. So let's hope that the North Korean thing settles down a bit, but then we're going to have to worry about what's going on in Iran. So, you know, there's no rest for us on foreign policy, obviously. I mean, look, America, we're an empire. We got foreign policy stuff going on all over the place. And I'm just trying to figure out why it is people don't make a bigger deal out of the foreign policy stuff. I mean, I guess it's because the Democrats don't oppose it, really, other than like Tulsi Gabbard and a handful of Republicans like Rand Paul and them. It's a bipartisan issue. These guys all love the war. They all love the empire. And the empire pays their bills. And in fact, you know, the American people are a beneficiary of the empire too. So I think as long as our people aren't actually the ones physically dying, you know, our troops aren't, as long as our troops aren't dying by the thousands out, you know, in Afghanistan or wherever, where you know, you just have like every few months a couple of guys get killed in the ambush or whatever, I think people are more or less don't care. You know, they as long as other people from other countries are dying, it's not that big of a deal. And I hope that changes sometime soon, because this is unsustainable. And they're spending so much damn money. I mean, that's where it does. It should be hitting people in the pocketbook, right? Spend so much damn money on it. They just increased spending. They just passed the $1.3 trillion omnibus bill. That's separate from like the $63 billion they just increased for the military. Military's got a lot of money, but they're misspending it on a bunch of huge dumb projects like that F-35 that hardly works. So yeah, the foreign policy stuff is not going away. I think I'm going to be joined by DB and Jake here in a little bit, but for now I'm flying solo. Let's see, what do we have next? The gun control debate. Still raging on. We have a story on the anti-media right now. It was the most popular story of the day. The Florida school shooting survivor CNN refused to interview. And so, look, there's been like this coordinated rollout after the shooting. I think after Vegas, the Democratic machine started getting its gears turning to prepare for the next shooting, right? Now, you guys know I'm not a conspiracy theorist, and I don't believe any of these shootings are false flags. I don't believe that they're crisis actors or anything like that. However, there is a conspiracy when it comes to the reaction, and this has been building up. Looking back at the Women's March, They headquartered the main women's rally was in Las Vegas, where of course that big shooting was Stephen Paddock, and you know, he shot up that concert. The video footage recently released, we saw how he brought the stuff in, which was what I assumed all along. He had help with the bellman, he was a high roller at the casino, they did whatever the fuck he wanted, that's how casinos work. They comp you on a bunch of shit, they give you a bunch of perks. They basically walked his bags up there with the guns in them and everything for him. That's why they did. That's why Mandalay Bay has probably been trying to was fighting the release of that footage, because they know it makes them look bad, because they helped, and you know, they were unknowing accomplices in that shooting. Anyway, so that big shooting in Vegas, they held the Women's March in Vegas, the main Women's March. we went and covered that with the Indie Newsbound project that we're working on, and we found out that the Women's March has basically been hijacked by the Democratic establishment. Fast forward, these guys have been organizing because, again, it's an election year. The Republicans are in charge. The Democrats are trying to retake the Congress. So these guys have been organizing ever since the Women's March, waiting on a chance to get a topic that they can capitalize on. That topic, now, of course, is just my own opinion and my own theory here. That topic, of course, gun violence. Energizes the base. Kids get shot. It draws a lot of emotion. You get some well-spoken kids to go out there and be the face of this movement so that you don't have... So it's not like Hillary Clinton's on CNN getting interviewed and like, oh yeah, we gotta, you know, pass gun reform and stuff. You got kids up there, kids that are victims of this thing, kids that are being rolled out on all these media channels, kids who you can't really criticize. You can't say, oh, that kid's, you know, just a stupid liberal and blah 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 blah. These kids are victims. They you know, are survivors. They're very emotional. They have a story to tell. And I feel really bad for these kids. Now, at the same time, there's no denying that the Democrats' fingerprints are all over this March for Our Lives thing. And the amount of resources, millions and millions of dollars in resources, infrastructure, buses, media coaching, networking, all the interviews and stuff they have lined up. The fingerprints of the Democrats are all over it, and it was no secret that at the rallies across the country, they were signing people up to vote. That was one of the main...
Is there still an argument this is organic? I mean, it's definitely not.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's... Now, I've seen this before. Look, we've done something similar when it came to... when the U.S. was trying to overthrow Syria, you know, we had a campaign in place, an anti-war campaign, waiting for the right time, reactionary campaign. And this is how a lot of big marches and stuff work. They're all reactionary. It's not like we can go out and have this big anti-war movement right now if there isn't some immediate pushback, some immediate threat. Like if it became apparent that Trump was going to nuke North Korea tomorrow, all of a sudden you would have people willing to go out there and march, right? You're not going to have it without some immediate threat. Now,
I think we're good on that front though. Finally, like that he was able to meet Xi it's amazing.
Yeah. I was just talking about that. Before I shifted into the gun thing. Yeah. I think it was very interesting that Kim Jong-un went over to meet, the president of China and, you know, his first time leaving the country since he took the role of supreme leader.
He's not a prisoner anymore for some reason.
Yeah, it's interesting, right? And he's going to be meeting Trump pretty soon too. So, you know, I find that very interesting.
Dude, it's as long as we stay America, I'm all right with us having agreements with China and with Russia to make the world safer. But if they try to make us more like China and Russia, then the American people need to rise up.
Yeah. Yeah, so we're going to be keeping a close eye on that stuff and just see what comes out of it. I mean, the news that came out of China with the meeting was just very much, you know, it's from the Chinese state media. It's very much just talking points and what they want us to know. We don't know what they really talked about. We don't know what they're really planning. We'll see. I think they were just trying to throw a curveball to Donald Trump to see, you know, a little variable there to, you know, change the way he's going to try to negotiate. You know, we'll see. But yeah, back to the shooting thing, dude. It's, you know, I don't doubt the legitimacy of the shooting. I don't doubt any of that at all. However, the Democratic machine has their fingerprints all over this movement. And it's just, you know, more than a gun-grabbing thing, I don't think that's genuinely what it is. I genuinely think this is just politics. The Democrats trying to rile up their base, energize their base, get some new voters to sign up, get the youth to get into their corner. That's what this is. This is part of the Democrats trying to retake the House and the Senate in the coming election this year. And that's what the Women's March was as well. Now, I don't want to denigrate the Women's March, because we were out there, and there's a bunch of genuine activists out there fighting for their rights and calling attention to abusive women and the Me Too movement and all that stuff. I genuinely...
Well, what does that have to do with it? I mean, they keep lumping everything in.
Yeah, I'm talking about the Women's March a few months ago, right?
But I mean, you were right, though. They did have that stuff at the gun control march, too. They were trying to parallel that with domestic violence. I mean, it's like they lump in when they do like a gay rights march. They'll have some idiots with the pedo shit, you know, trying to lump themselves in, dude.
Yeah, you know, and again, it goes back to my theory that this is more or less just political grandstanding, and this is the Democrats flexing their muscle, and you got the media lining up to, you know, amplify these kids' voices. And yeah, I think it's working.
But are they even real? Like, are these the front runners even real? Like Hogg's dad's in the FBI. Everybody's dad's in the FBI. Everybody's a cousin. Everybody's related. Like, nobody knows who's anybody's age is. Nobody was there. They rode their bike there. They weren't actually there. I mean, this story is becoming more convoluted and Las Vegas-y and bullshit the longer I hear it.
Well, I don't know. You know, I don't subscribe to that.
But I mean, the dude said on CBS that he rode his bike to the school, that he wasn't even there, and he was pretending like he was. It's just like...
Yeah, no, but he said that he rode his bike to the school at 6 o'clock at night. You know, this is after the whole thing happened. He went home, came back. As far as from what I saw, I mean, I saw that story circulating, but a bunch of the people who posted that had to retract because they found out that it wasn't fully accurate.
So
I saw that
splicing the video.
Yeah. But you know, a lot of this stuff is just trying to stir up conspiracy theories on.
I mean, but what are we going to
be like, oh, look how crazy those people are.
But what are we going to really do as a society? Like, do people not understand that if the second goes, the first goes? Do people not understand in the UK and in France and in Germany when you make a defamatory comment on Facebook, you go to jail? Yet, there's things going on that are heinous crimes that are being a blind eye turned to under a cultural norm statute, which is complete bullshit. So, it's... Dude, when it's physically impossible to compete with the government's ability to do violence, in other words, if you can't defend yourself from them, they will literally 1984 you. That's what they'll do. They'll just psy-op you into oblivion until you're a complete fucking zombie, like everybody in Northern Europe right now.
Yeah, so, you know, I think looking at the reaction from all this talk of gun control, you know, the NRA's donations like tripled, and you know, you guys know I can't stand the NRA, but you know, it is what it is. The NRA's budget tripled.
But what if
their donations tripled?
What if the NRA had a Black Panther equivalent, or you know what I mean, Nick? That's the NRA's got a bad rap because the people that run it are asshole racist old fucks. And there needs to be new school, not National Rifle Association, fuck that. Firearm Appreciation Association or whatever.
There you go.
But anything that's new school, dude, because people need to understand the second props this first up. There's no First Amendment without a second, period. And every single one after that was fought for by the people was due to the threat of violent uprising. That is it. It's never a government that's giving you rights. You must take them and then keep them by threat of force. Otherwise, they take them right back.
Yeah. Yeah, dude. It's a great point. And it's very true. I mean, look, like you were saying, what's going on? Like, what did we cover on our last show last Wednesday? There's this guy in England who taught his girlfriend's dog how to do a Nazi salute, and now he's been found guilty of a crime.
And then they let a guy out They let a guy out after like 8 months that raped a child because they said that it was a cultural norm where he came from. So that was acceptable. And that's what it's psyops, dude. That's like Clockwork Orange shit they're doing on the population at large. They're telling you, one, you can't have an opinion, and two, if you do some heinous shit and come up with just whatever excuse, all good.
Yeah. Yep.
That's what Clockwork Orange was about, the degradation of society down to its core.
Yeah, man. And so you bring up a great point. We got the arms should be used to defend our rights. And if you look back, if you look at why these people create constitutions, right? I'm not a huge fan of the founding fathers. They're all flawed or whatever. But every country, most countries have a constitution, right? And most times they create these documents because they had a revolution and they were dealing with really bad authoritarian government. And they said, hey, we're going to create this constitution so that from now on we're going to restrain the government and keep it from growing out of hand and becoming authoritarian. Now, of course, constitutions generally fail in most places, just as revolutions generally just replace one figurehead with the next, and then a few years later, back to the same old thing. But as you said, having the threat of violent uprising is the only check, really, against the government. It's the only one. Because ever since government was created, it's always been trying to control and steal from people and trick them into doing things that they ordinarily wouldn't do, like wars and genocides and mass killings and that kind of thing.
Nick, the best scenario I always think of is like, imagine you're you're holding a baby. All right, most people will cradle a baby and nurture it and love it, even if it cries, screams, and poops its pants and whatever. It's still cute, and we want to take care of it, but not everyone. And the problem is the people that don't are the people that are drawn to government. And they see us as that baby. That's the biggest problem, dude, is they see us as ripe to abuse at their whim because they're sadists. They're psychopaths. They're drawn to power like moths to a flame. They literally cannot help themselves. And that's why we need to change the whole system. And I'm not sure how we do that. I don't know how we make a meritocracy that also figures in ethic and moral equivalency. Like, that is some AI shit. And I don't know if I want to trust a computer, but I'm not sure if we can trust people.
Yeah, it's a tough question, dude. It's a really tough question. And, it's a long battle. It's a long, long battle. And that's what keeps me, positive in the net, overall. I'm still positive on what is going to be achieved, what can be achieved, even though we got these assholes in charge, and the only guys that we should be electing are the guys that don't want to be elected. I mean, those are literally anybody that wants to be a politician, 99% chance the guy's a sociopath asshole that wants to take advantage of people. I mean, what other reason do people have to be politicians, really?
You couldn't get me to do it, Nick. I would never. You could not pay me to do it. If you told me you'd pay me to run, and if I lost, I'd still get paid, I still wouldn't run. I'm not going to compromise myself to play politics, and that's the biggest problem we have. Period. Is that we don't have leaders. We have people that are vying to be puppets for our rulers. It's like corporate sponsorship. It's like people that are. They're going out to try to get a job as a lobbyist for the public, for corporations. That's essentially what we've degraded ourselves into.
Yeah, basically. It's a good description. Why does anyone want to be a politician? Because you think you know better than everyone else? You think you're going to get up there and tell people what to do because you know better? That's the conundrum in politics, is that all these fools running think they know better when the best politics are the ones that are practiced on your own. It's like the only political system I personally enjoy is the one that no one tells me what the fuck to do, and I get to do my own shit, and I do it, and then if I, you know, as long as I don't hurt anybody, fine, of course. I mean, it sounds so simple, right? It sounds so simple to not hurt anybody. And so, but just generally speaking, look, people do their thing, don't hurt nobody else, you all get along fine. Okay, cool. But most of these politicians, outside of maybe, you know, a handful, are assholes. They're assholes, dude. They're assholes, and guess what? A bunch of these assholes about to get worse because they're doing some real nasty shit. So first of all, look, I want to harken back to what we were just talking about. First of all, these in the Democratic Party I'm talking about right now, because we all know the Republicans don't give a shit about anybody, and they openly are spiteful to basically everyone except for old white men, right? Now, I'm talking about the Democrats. They latched onto the Me Too movement, hijacked it, used it to push forward this kind of very extremely corporatized, whitewashed women's march. I was there. I went to the one in L.A., which was probably the second, third biggest one, and went to the main one in Las Vegas. Me and my team went. We checked it out. We got a firsthand look at it. If you guys are following us close on social media, you probably got a chance to see what we saw as well. The Democrats hijacked the Me Too movement and are trying to turn it into votes. Okay? Now, if that weren't bad enough, they're hijacking these kids who just got fucking shot at in their fucking school, and they're hijacking those kids to turn those kids into votes as well. Now, this is some despicable shit, and now it gets even worse. Can't remember the exact number, but you guys have to go look this up yourself. A bunch of these Democrats that are running for Congress right now in this coming election are literally former CIA agents, like literally a bunch of them. CIA, FBI, a bunch of feds.
That is excellent for our democracy.
Yeah, like literally the deep state guys are running for Congress now because they're taking using the excuse that, oh, Trump is so bad, we could basically cram anybody down these motherfuckers' throat and they'll vote for him. That's basically what the thinking is, right? And then the Democratic Party is shitting all over anybody that is like slightly progressive. I mean, I've been seeing Bernie Sanders put out a statement maybe a few weeks ago saying, hey, like to the DNC, like, hey, stop attacking our fucking candidates. Like the DNC is attacking Democratic candidates who are like the progressive grassroots style, Bernie Sanders style candidates. And they're attacking them and then cramming these CIA guys down everyone's throat. And so, you know, these guys are kind of using all these movements, generating a buzz, generating momentum with that, and then they're shitting all over the progressive people and replacing them with CIA people. Like, this is like, it's unbelievable. And the fact that this isn't a big story is really, really telling because, you know, these guys, I've seen my liberal friends, like, here in San Diego, dude, there was a march for James Comey. The quote-unquote liberal activists had a march for James Comey, the fucking FBI director. I'm not playing, dude. I am dead serious. And I literally was sitting, when I saw it, I was like, holy shit, we're doomed. Like, this is just the most ridiculous shit. And then, you know, like the whole, I don't know, dude. It's hard for me to, like, really grasp the breadth of what's going on here because it's so ridiculous, right? But the people who claim to be the civil rights people are now jocking the fuck out of the FBI, and they're putting CIA people into office, and they claim to be like the civil rights people. Like, it blows my mind, dude. It blows my mind. Like, the Democratic Party is so out of touch and so just terrible for what they're doing. They're taking advantage of women who have been victims. They're taking advantage of children who have been victims. And they're cramming down a bunch of deep state assholes down our throats, and this is not pretty. And I'll tell you what, Trump just put that CIA dude in charge, or he's trying to put the CIA dude in charge of diplomacy at the State Department. He got John Bolton in as a national security advisor. And then combine that with the neocons already in the Congress with the Republicans and the CIA fuckers that are about to be in Congress with the Democrats. Dude, like, it ain't looking good.
It looks like he lost, but Bolton's a Reagan guy, so I still think there's going to be infighting. I don't think this is the end of it whatsoever. I actually truly believe that the military won and that they took the CIA over because the CIA is now officially under the NSA mantle. not its own department anymore. That changed. So I think it changed. I think they did a lot of changes, and they're just trying to keep it, like, trying not to freak the American public out, because the American public cannot. I mean, look how easily they're manipulated, dude. So I don't know, man. I think once people understand that the military just got $1.416 trillion over the next 2 years, I don't think they understand what that check is and what they're in possession of now and what they're going to be able to do.
A lot of money.
It's enough to do everything he promised in his campaign and then some, like, easily. And if they're going to start confiscating assets from political enemies and enemies of the state, which I think is in process right now, and trillions come in that way too, I think we're going to see a reorganization of assets that could potentially be something the opposite of the Depression. And that's why I'm very hopeful that if there's all these construction projects that pop up as a result of all this business coming back into the U.S., and taxes and shit like that, that they can actually reappropriate it and rebuild our infrastructure. We could have like a mini golden age for once. Like, we need one so bad.
We'll see, man. I'm not as hopeful.
I'm hopeful, dude, because the opposite thing could happen, which is nuclear world war. So let's just hope the best scenario happens.
Hopefully, man. Hopefully, dude. But again, from my view and the stuff I've been saying, It ain't looking great, dude. And to have these kids out there, and I know I've said this before.
It'll be fine, Nick. It's gonna be fine.
To have the kids out there marching against our rights, against the one thing that gives us a tiny bit of power over this fucking government.
It'll be all right, dude. It's a minority, like you said. It's just the media is amplifying a tiny minority of what looked to be professionally groomed presences. They're not normal teenagers are not this polished. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
They're just not. So I'm not going to call them crisis actors, but they've been groomed.
Yeah, for sure. I'll agree with that. I don't think they're crisis actors at all, but I'll agree with that. But look, even though these activists supposedly are marching out there to take away our gun rights, I think you're right. I don't think most teenagers are out there saying, you know what, we should take away our fucking guns. These fuckers are on playing these video games where they're shooting people all day. They have no problems with guns. Okay? And again, I think this is just the Democrats hijacking a handful of kids, turning it into a movement by rolling out all their email lists and getting all the MoveOn.org fuckers to come out of the fucking house and march with these kids. I look at the pictures from these things. It's a bunch of middle-aged white dudes and middle-aged white women. And it ain't the teenagers, and it ain't the Black Panthers, it ain't the hardcore activists that are out there fighting against the true injustices like police violence and shit like that.
It's very fatty, dude. It's a fad. It's sad, actually. It's like that Pink Hat March or whatever the fuck that thing was. It's just all these faux liberal people that are just complete statists, and they should just suck one.
Yeah, and again, it's the Democrats rolling out their base and getting people energized. That's what they're doing. It's like, and again, I don't think, now these kids are talking about gun control and shit, I don't think that that's actually going to happen. The other side of the debate is just getting, the more that you talk about taking guns, the more the other side entrenches itself. There's no budging those people. It's politics. It's the Democrats trying to win this next election. That's all it is. So I think we'll just leave it at that. Next on the list, Pentagon admits billions of U.S. dollars disappear in Afghanistan. Meanwhile, U.S. judge allows 9/11 lawsuit against Saudi Arabia to proceed. I want to go talk about the Saudis. So first of all, we're in Afghanistan, supposedly because we were chasing down Osama bin Laden. The Taliban refused to hand him over, which I don't think the Taliban was ever in possession of him. So it would be like if El Chapo was in the U.S. and Mexico was like, hey, either you fuckers hand over El Chapo or we're invading you from the south and we want him by like next week. And the U.S. is like, well, we don't have El Chapo and we don't want you guys coming in and taking him yourself. So, And then they just like, okay, we're invading. And that's pretty much kind of what the U.S. did in Afghanistan, right? Because they said it was, you know, the Taliban were collaborating with the Al-Qaeda because they wouldn't hand over bin Laden or whatever. You know, bin Laden, who knows? Yeah, I don't even want to go into the bin Laden story. But long story short, U.S. is throwing away money in Afghanistan. We're going on 16 years of war over there. Dumping billions and billions, trillions probably by now, wasted on basically nothing.
Every single child that was born or was alive at that time that could have went to college would have either went or had a grant ready for them, because they're looking at the bill now at, I don't know if you've seen this, Nick, but they're talking about $7 trillion.
Wouldn't doubt it, dude. Wouldn't doubt it. And of course, what we find out later is that the Saudis' fingerprints are all over this 9/11 thing. And so this judge is allowing lawsuit to proceed. Meanwhile, now here's the interesting thing, timing. Saudi prince is taking his American tour. He's going to be here for a few weeks, and they're rolling out the fucking red carpet for this guy. I mean, he's even meeting with Oprah.
Is it the new one?
Yeah, it's the new guy that just basically locked up.
He's not that whatever that other Twitter guy. So yeah, he'll get the red carpet because he's the dude that just overthrew everybody.
Yeah, yeah, and so you know, he's getting the red carpet treatment, the white glove treatment, where they're kind of he's given a few interviews. They kind of hands off. They're not talking about. They're not pressing him on what's going on in Yemen. Meanwhile, while he's here, they're rolling out some kind of reforms over there. Just the most recent one is that they're saying women don't have to wear the head coverings anymore in Saudi Arabia. I don't know. You know, the Saudis are just horrible, horrible. The government of Saudi Arabia, I've met Saudi people. They're great people. The government of Saudi Arabia is a very terrible entity who is responsible for the deaths of many, many, many people, and including children in Yemen right now, and they're also one of the forces that are driving the civil war in Syria, and they're the ones that got us obviously into Afghanistan, Iraq, and stuff. And maybe, you know, maybe the U.S. government is using them, maybe they're using us, maybe they're working together. I mean, of course they're working together. I don't know who's really calling the shots, but regardless, these aren't good people, and our goddamn media is rolling out the red carpet for this motherfucker. And it's infuriating that they don't call them on the shit that they do. I mean, they arrest people. Some kid got arrested for dancing. And I, like...
That's sacrilegious.
At first, it's like, damn, that sounds really bad. And then, I don't know if you saw this, DB, but I shared this post today. In San Diego, right here where I live... A restaurant was fined $3,000 because people were dancing in the restaurant to live music, which requires a special permit, apparently, in San Diego. At first it's like, oh shit, I can't believe Saudi, and it was a kid in Saudi Arabia. He's arrested for dancing in the street. It's like, oh my God, I can't believe that. That's like Sharia law. That's terrible. And then it's like, oh, by the way, in the U.S., they're fining restaurants $3,000 because some of their customers decide they want to dance because a song they like came on. Because that's illegal. You need a permit for that shit. And then it's like, oh, wow. I guess we ain't so different than Saudi Arabia, are we? Just seems that we are.
Is that a state thing?
The ABC, California Alcohol Beverage Control.
Are you fucking control. Kidding me?
And it was a 4-month undercover investigation of this restaurant. Where they use how much money did they spend to fine them $3,000 for motherfuckers dancing?
If there's a single state in the union that needs to begin with the takeover, it is California. That the fact that the government could get away with that bullshit shows how asleep the people there are.
It's mind blowing. Like, it literally is mind blowing.
That should now. How can that be so? How can all the restaurant people in the whole state not get together and sue the state for that bullshit kind of law?
Well, I'll tell you why, bro. Because the fucking nightclubs like this law because the nightclubs where people have to go dance at the nightclub, they can't dance at the restaurant next door. You know what I'm saying? You know, and so I don't know, dude.
But restaurants together could overpower the lobby of nightclubs.
You gotta fight for our right to dance, dude. I guess there was a movie about that.
Jerry Brown needs to, like, retire, dude. It's just, this is stupid. His whole reign, the state's gone from already stupid to just completely idiotic.
Yeah, dude, and, you know, me and my girlfriend were at Buffalo Wild Wings the other night, and some Selena song came on. You know, we live down in a Latino community, right? And some Selena song came on, and, you know, we're just eating at Buffalo Wild Wings just because we wanted it. It's just right down the street. We didn't have nothing to eat, wanted to eat, have a beer, whatever. Song comes on, people get up and dance. I read the story earlier today. I'm like, damn, that shit, those fools dancing at Buffalo Wild Wings were fucking breaking the law. Like, Buffalo Wild Wings can get fined for that shit. And, like, it's just, the nanny state shit is ridiculous. And
you think it's too much, dude.
They don't allow people to dance in Saudi Arabia. Yeah, they don't allow fuckers to dance in San Diego either. So, yeah, it's ridiculous, dude.
And what they're going to do is they're going to play all the differences of people against each other so that we don't see the encroaching hand snapping all of our necks. That's what they did in the UK and all the British colonies right now. That's what they're doing. They're playing everybody's differences against each other and then ushering in the ultimate nanny state where everything's hate speech. You go to jail for anything. For anything. It doesn't matter.
Anything critical, dude. Anything. You know, how long is it in England before they, hey, criticizing the government's illegal and you're going to jail if you criticize us. I mean, how long is it going to be? They already basically said that you can't use encryption. You know, and don't get me wrong, I'm not a sympathizer with these fools that are getting barred from reentering the UK. Because, you know, these are like far right, very like, you know, just xenophobic, racist motherfuckers. But at the same time, you know, people may say, oh, yeah, it's great. They're banning people. And like, let's just compare them to someone like Richard Spencer, right, of the UK. And like these fools go traveling to Europe and they don't let them back into the country. So, you aren't welcome here anymore because of your political views. Now, of course, I fully disagree with their political views, but. But how long until they bring it to the next guy? How long until they say, hey, you know, Jeremy Corbyn and anyone to the left of him, socialists and communists and shit, it's now illegal for you guys to organize or talk about what your ideas are. It's banned. It's hate speech. It's hateful towards the government. And anyone to the right of Richard Spencer, that's banned. It's hate speech. It's illegal. All you fools will go to jail if we get you saying that. Very, very troubling, very chilling on free speech. And the UK, man, the UK is not in a pretty place, dude. It's not. I mean, they did the Brexit thing, which in principle, I support Brexit because I believe in decentralizing governments. And I think the EU is a supranational government. We don't want to over-centralize. We want to decentralize, right? Now, in principle, it makes sense. Now, in practice, how Brexit was accomplished, we find out more about that recently with this Cambridge Analytica scandal. They use the same playbook that Donald Trump used. Xenophobia, fear-mongering, scapegoating minorities, blaming Muslims, blaming immigrants for all of your woes. That's exactly how the Brexit campaign happened. Now, in principle, I side with Brexit because I don't... Decentralizing government, you don't have to trick people into believing that shit. That's a good idea. You don't have to scare them. You don't have to say, oh, we need to remove ourselves from the EU or the Muslims are going to overrun us and shit. That's what they did. You don't have to do that because decentralization is a good idea, right? And in theory, in principle, would I prefer Trump over Clinton still? I tend to lean towards still saying I would prefer Clinton over Trump. I mean, sorry, prefer Trump over Clinton just out of just the loose cannon angle, right? Because we all knew what Clinton was. We still don't fully know what Donald Trump is going to do. Maybe it'll be worse off. Maybe it'll be better off. We don't know, like we talked about earlier. Hopefully for the better, right? We don't know that. Do I disagree completely with Donald Trump, the way he was elected, the xenophobia, the racism, the divisiveness, and all that shit? Totally. Totally. You don't need bad ideas to combat other bad ideas. Hillary Clinton was an awful candidate with a horrible history. You don't have to beat Hillary Clinton with something worse. And that's what these guys did. They Cambridge Analytica used Facebook. And let's kind of clear the air a little bit about Cambridge Analytica. The shit that they did wasn't really illegal. It wasn't really out of the norm, honestly. I mean, all these fuckers use this kind of shit. All these politicians use this kind of shit. The Democratic Party has its own version of that shit. All right? They didn't do anything that far out of the norm. They're just gathering data that Facebook already collects. Now, is Facebook way too fucking intrusive? Hell yeah. Facebook is intrusive as fuck. Right? But people do sign the agreements. People do say, yeah, I'll accept those terms of services without reading the damn fine print. And so that hands over a bunch of data, including your contacts, and including, now we find out, people on Android devices, it was including their call logs, their text messages. So Facebook knows who you've been texting, what you've been texting. You text your weed dealer, hey, bro, I want an ounce of weed tomorrow. Facebook's like, oh, shit, cool, man. Like, right on, bro. You know, Facebook knows what you're saying. And Donald Trump, Cambridge Analytica, and all these other fuckers, they also know what you're saying, too. So, anyway, Cambridge.
Always text everything pro-government.
There you go. Hey, I want an ounce of weed to support Donald Trump tomorrow. Can you make it happen?
Exactly. You know what? General Mattis supports weed.
Yeah. And so, look, Facebook knows everything about you. In fact, I've seen some people argue that Facebook knows you better than you know yourself, because Facebook's able to identify subconscious biases and stuff like that based on your behavior. And they're able to weaponize that, or third parties are able to weaponize that data for political purposes. Like Cambridge Analytica, they didn't do anything illegal. From what I've seen so far, they haven't done anything illegal. Everything is legal. That none of those fools have gone to jail yet. Now, I know the UK is investigating them because, well, the UK has very few, you know, freedom of speech things. So, yeah, maybe they will get in trouble in the UK, but they ain't getting in trouble in the US. They're not. And they know everything about you, and they get you by the fears, the deepest fears in your heart. And that's the shit Donald Trump was saying during the election. When he came out and he said, Mexicans are bringing bad people, rapists, criminals, gang members, Muslims are, you know, dangerous. We need to screen them. We need to ban them from entering the country and shit. We even need to put them in a database and track them and all that shit. People are like, oh my God, that's horrible. I can't believe that Donald Trump saying that. But deep down, just enough people deep down were like, damn, he's fucking right. He's got a point. Those Muslims are fucking dangerous. We should be tracking them. And those damn Mexicans are taking our jobs and dating our daughters and stuff. We need to fucking build a wall. But publicly, I mean, people, I think half the people that voted for Trump won't ever admit to it, and before the election never would even say that shit. I think half the people out there that voted for Trump, you don't even know it, because they won't even tell you if they did. But it's because he was able to tap into those deep, deep fears, those deep anxieties. And I was wondering about that during the election. I was like, damn. Because I knew all the shit he was saying was like very, like it made emotional sense, right? It felt like Donald Trump had this emotional intelligence where he knew how to tap into what people felt, right? And I know S.M. Gibson thought that maybe he would just sling a bunch of shit on Twitter and then get data from that and see whichever one had positive feedback, and he would just change his position and support that, right? Now it turns out he actually had some deeper data, the stuff that he gathered out of Facebook, and was able to tap into those fears and anxieties, and that's really what Cambridge Analytica does. They identify what scares people, and then they give it to these people running for office and use that to make them win. Because people are more inclined to vote to something they're against You know, people are more likely to say, you know, if they're against Muslims, they're more likely to vote, go out and vote for Donald Trump than if they're, you know, for common sense, you know, immigration stuff maybe that Hillary Clinton was offering. You know, maybe, oh, that sounds good. But then it's like, oh, wow, that sounds scary. I'm going to vote for Donald Trump. Right. And that's kind of how the thing works. In fact, there's a lot of data and polling to confirm this hypothesis here that people vote against topics. They vote against politicians. And in fact, if you look at the way Hillary Clinton ran her campaign, it was actually she was presenting herself as the opposite of Donald Trump, as the, you know, oh, Trump is so crazy that you have to vote for me because Trump's real bad. It wasn't really, oh, I'm this and I'm, you know, I'm for this and I'm for that. Maybe, probably better. She would have lost in a landslide, probably, if she wouldn't have made it about Donald Trump, because you can't get people to get motivated for stuff they're for. You just have to get them scared of something to vote against. You know, unfortunately, that's just the nature of our human psychology and the way politics works. I wish it weren't that way, but that's, you know, look it up. I mean, the data is there. That's what it is. People vote against stuff, not for it. And so, yeah, you know, Facebook, the fallout continues. A lot of people are jumping ship. Dude. A lot of people are jumping ship. Maybe this is going to be the finish. You know, that maybe this will finish Facebook off. Maybe Facebook, but, you know, they're going to survive on. They've got a bunch of other shit. Facebook owns Instagram. They're knee deep in the virtual reality stuff. If Facebook dies, the website Facebook dies, the company Facebook survives. They got a bunch of other shit going on. They own a bunch of companies. They own a bunch of startups, a bunch of technology patents and shit. Facebook's going to continue on. Maybe they'll change their name later on. I don't know. But, you know, they've done their damage. They've screwed the independent media. They've monopolized. And, you know, it's for better or for worse. You know, hopefully people shift into a more decentralized internet presence. If you're gonna, you know, hopefully people can go off into smaller communities, because it's, you know, dealing with something like Facebook is just like dealing with a huge country, where you have all these problems associated with having a highly centralized entity like Facebook or like the government, where they could just do stuff and negatively affect you on their own whim. And that's what Facebook has done. It's been arbitrarily changing the algorithm, screwing over a bunch of businesses, including ours, banning people for arbitrary reasons, controlling the flow of information, becoming a very pro-establishment platform, really, with all the stuff that it's rolled out recently with the fact-checking and the fake news and stuff, and then just the throttling of alternative voices and stuff on the internet. Very pro-establishment. So, you know, maybe as we move forward, people split off into different directions, it will reduce the ability of some giant tech company to control literally what we think and what we know and how we vote and how we interact and all that stuff. You know, Facebook and Google have way too much power. The more we can get away from both of those companies and Amazon, let's not forget Amazon and Microsoft. I mean, these four companies are just, they're huge, man. Amazon, Microsoft, Facebook, Google, all those four need to die. Break them up. As a consumers, we need to break them up ourselves.
Apple or what?
Yeah, Apple's up there too. You know. Yeah. So break them up. As consumers, we break them up. The government ain't going to do it. We shouldn't even ask the government to do it. We do it ourselves. Voting with our dollars, voting with our consent. Because if not, look, these dudes try to crack down hard after that election because, you know, people fell subject to their impulses and their emotions, and that's what drove all that fake news shit. These dudes try to crack down, now they're dying, good. Break it into a million pieces. Peace out, everybody. Thanks for tuning in.
I'ma let them know through the stereo. Yo, here we go through the stereo.